This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U Mobile.
Today on the Breakfast Grill, we are talking to MK Gaud, Chief Executive of Carex Bahad, the world's largest condom maker by volume. Welcome back to the grill, MK. I understand you've been on the grill a few times already. Let's perhaps start off with the fact that you've just, I think, closed your fourth quarter and full financial year. It's been a tough year. It was outsized input costs on all fronts, from silicone oil to distribution, latex packaging materials. The ringgit was stronger as well, which also hurts overseas sales, and you had competition in the tender segment. I guess wrap up the financial year just passed and provide a viewpoint for the year going ahead.
Well, thank you, Chong. Thank you for having me again. Well, as you just mentioned, it has been a tough year. When we look into the global oil prices, it's gone up, and that's basically increased a lot of costs for us. And I guess when we look into the government sector, we can see that the government sector has sort of tapered off in terms of certain spending. But I think the use of condom is still fairly important. Moving forward, condom is still a very important tool to fight global HIV/AIDS and other types of STIs as well. I am fairly confident that the coming years will definitely be a interesting chapter of the company.
Well, the thing is, MK, as you pointed out, governments globally around the world have a lot more on their plate than ever before. They've got to contend with terrorism, they've got to contend with global warming, they've got to contend with a lot of global issues. And I think, as you mentioned before in the past, there's such a thing called condom fatigue, where you know, trends come and go in terms of geopolitical concerns. The government sector, free condoms for disease control, obviously, has been an issue in recent years. It's been tapering off. Add that to the laundry list of concerns we just mentioned, and for the fiscal year ahead, what's your strategy to deal with these things?
Well, I think what's important for us is that we have been focusing on the branding side of business. Well, in the last 25 years, you know, Carex has been very lucky in a way that the access to the governmental tender business has basically built huge volumes for the business. But when things start to taper off, especially for the government sector, brands and commercial business needs to come in. And that's been quite a phenomenon that's happening. And we also see the fact that how China, India, and countries like Vietnam has changed from basically what I consider a free market condom distribution to a commercial business. So the move that Carex actually has taken about 5 years back in terms of moving to branding would definitely be an important one. And I think we have probably taken that step at the right time.
Well, you have a semi-leadership position in the U.S. with your one brand, the one brand, right, which you acquired some years ago. You're also number three or number four in Canada. You've also got your own brand of Carex in the Middle East. But emerging Asia is not within your purview at this point in time. Even Malaysia is a market you just entered 3-4 years ago. And in a fell swoop, I think you're number two there. But the rest of the ASEAN region, where populations are booming and urbanization is really rapidly rising, even in China with 1.4 billion people, you're by and large not in these markets. Why?
Well, we were not there because there's basically not a market for us to be there. And I think what is actually...
By that, you mean because of budgets or because the governments were not playing ball?
Well, the governments were giving out free condoms, and in some countries, for example, in India and China, if you are not a local manufacturer, you don't have a market access to that market. However, you have that very big social marketeers in those countries. When we look into countries like Indonesia, we look at Philippines, we look at Vietnam in the past. And when those condoms are highly subsidized, there is basically no opportunity for commercial markets to go into those areas. So what is actually happening in this industry is that we're starting to talk to a lot of social marketeers, and they are changing their business model from being a social marketeer to a social enterprise model. And I would say that this phenomenon is actually a very new phenomenon, and there is no case study that any manufacturer could look into. And moving into that social enterprise model, I would say that Carex would definitely have a competitive edge moving into these areas because, you know, you look into, you know, affordability of condoms. I think that's going to be a number one issue that we look into it. And we need to ensure that condoms are affordable. And being the largest condom maker today in the world in terms of volume, I think we are very price competitive. And that availability of the right mix of products as well would definitely give us an edge moving into this area. And considering that within Southeast Asia, I think where we are located today in Malaysia and Thailand, our manufacturing facilities, I think we are basically in where the hub of where the action is today.
Well, I guess in the wake of the fourth quarter financial performance, a couple of brokering houses who cover your stock called to sell on your business. Hong Leong was one of them. I think CIMB was another. There's a lot of headwinds facing you, MK. The input costs, raw material prices, of course, silicon oil, as you said, distribution expenses, they all keep going up, and oil prices being a prime determinant of distribution is a big issue. How are you going to deal with these things, especially with compressing margins going forward? How are you going to convince the market that where you are right now at 76.5 cents is an interesting time?
I think what's important for me is, you know, really focusing in terms of the business. I think definitely we are in a bit of a crossroad, especially with the business model taking a bit of a change in terms of direction.
Well, it's not easy running a manufacturing business, and your prices are relatively inelastic. You can't pass on these costs to consumers. They just won't buy it.
Well, if you look into the pricing mechanism, right, I've always been telling people that when you walk into a store, you buy an average condom, you know, globally at maybe between 50 cents to a dollar a piece. However, as a manufacturer, you know, our average selling price is between 3 to 4 cents. So there's a lot of gap still. The gap is still big for us to look into where we can actually move into different channels. And that's where, you know, when you look into the governmental tender segment, when that tapers off, I think looking at where the commercial market's growing, there is huge opportunities for value creation there. And that's one area which I think, you know, it's definitely attracting us as an organization to move towards that distribution, to move into more commercial businesses. And, you know, I think that's where Carex's key strength is in terms of manufacturing. In you know, if you look into the fact that how, you know, the male latex condom has been around, it's just been around for 100 years and it hasn't really changed much. And today, we have so much opportunity to look into new research and development in terms of making a product better. Because if you look at statistics, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation actually has mentioned that only less than 5% of men actually around the world are using condoms.
Well, what kind of commercial opportunities are there? I mean, from an R&D standpoint, you can get thinner and you can only get so thin, and you can get cheaper, but only so much cheaper. Where to from there?
Well, new materials is definitely a way to go.
So non-latex?
Potentially.
Nitrile, maybe?
We've been seeing new materials like polyurethane condoms into the market. We've seen polyisoprene condoms in the market. But why not other devices, other materials as well? I think in the onset of how materials are also moving towards nanomaterials, you know, there is so much opportunity to look into that areas as well. In the end of the day, you know, like I've always been telling most of, you know, our investors that, well, rubber is a very good material. But unfortunately, I think what rubber does is it blocks away heat from a person feeling it natural. So I think where we are actually trying to learn is trying to look into the area of heat transfer. You know, how do we create that transfer of heat where I guess maybe we got to learn from the guys from Uniqlo, how do you make a heat tech condom? So something like that will be very interesting to, I guess, not just look into value creation, but I think how do we then look into growing more people to use condoms?
Well, better intercourse, better enjoyment, but having the protection of a prophylactic, clearly, right?
Yeah, I guess, you know, our business is to ensure that sex is better with a condom than without one.
So how do you do this? Because obviously from a branding perspective, and I just want to be honest here, I think the Go family controls more than half the business. You are by and large, the most appropriate person within the family, because you're still relatively young, you're still in touch with the younger sets, and you've got a certain grasp, presumably, on social media and technology. But would the business be better served, for example, by someone who's less of a manufacturing person and more of a branding person?
Well, I guess we're right now...
It's all about making it sexy again, isn't it?
Yes,
right?
I know, it is. But I think in order to make it sexy again, someone who understands the business well in terms of understanding the product. I think today, when you look into the condom industry, and I talk to many people in this industry, and the surprising fact that I do get from a number of people within this industry is that they actually... you know, as you get more and more into the industry, sometimes people actually get probably lesser touch into the manufacturing side of it. A lot of people don't know actually how to create, new product variants in this industry. So for my perspective, I guess I've been in this business for 20 years. I've, started from a very young age. And I think passion has been something that has been for me with this product. So, I really like the fact that, I could change something from being just a simple, boring stuff. And it's not just about, let's say, making a, durian-flavored or nasi lemak-flavored or, our recent one, a teh tarik condom. But it's also a health issue. It's also a public issue in terms of how do you create demand for people to use this product. Because, again, like what Tun Mahathir said in one of his speeches, it's a product that saves humanity.
We're talking this morning to MK Gore, the chief executive of Carex Berhad, the world's largest condom maker by volume. We're going to be coming back, MK, and talking about branding, talking about expansion, and talking about tackling the turbulent times ahead. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Today on The Grill, we are talking to MK Gore, the chief executive of Carex Berhad, which is the world's largest condom maker by volume. Now, you talked about how important branding is. You talked about how important product development is, MK. Yeah. How do you get a handle and how do you, as you say, create demand?
Well, in terms of the branding side, we knew that we are great manufacturers here in Malaysia in terms of cost perspective. Cost management, I think we've been doing very well because if not for that, we wouldn't be the largest condom maker in the world. And one thing we knew that right after the IPO, we had to change that business model. And we went on to the acquisition route. And on the branding perspective, we don't have that expertise yet within the organization. And I looked around us here in Malaysia. I find that we had very limited resources in terms of building a global brand. So that was one thing I did. The first thing I did was, we went on to buy a few companies in the US, in UK, and we're doing pretty well. We started off at the IPO at about 3% of our revenue with our own brands. And until last fourth quarter, our revenue now coming from our own brands is at 16%.
Okay. Well, when I look at your numbers, and I think your watershed year was 2016, revenue was highest ever, profits were highest ever, margins were highest ever, and I think your latest 2018 margins, pre-tax margins, 3.5%, down from about 25% in 2015, 24% in 2016. It's been tough. It is progressively getting tough. The trend is in the wrong direction, MK.
Well, if you look into the manufacturing side, of course, 2016 was a wonderful year when exchange rate was in our favor. Raw material prices was generally very low. So what happens is that when you look into the manufacturing business, China and India basically are two economies where they are also producing their own condoms. And when we look into India, there was a major change in the Indian markets for condoms, as well as in the Chinese market. And we see major disruption in those two countries where, China started to revert out from the free condom distribution when they ended the one-child policy. India, on the other hand, put in a price control where they allowed only a maximum price on condoms available in their markets. And that started to see a huge shift in terms of how condoms were free and how they now demand creation was created where people put in new features and products was relatively cheap. That shift in dynamic happened. And with regards to where global tenders, you know, in terms of where the budgets were allocated, we saw lesser allocation in the last 2 years. And basically that went on to a bit of a price war between manufacturers. And that is where I think Carex wanted to continuously maintain that business position. And when we look into this industry, the entry barrier in this industry is fairly high, right? And the fact that we need to continue to maintain our position, and I'm very confident that, you know, this is basically a situation where, you know, it's just a short-term measure. But I think what I see right now is that the business is continuously consolidating. And once this business has consolidated, I'm confident that the business will do a lot better.
I'm talking today to MK Goh, the chief executive of Carex Berhad, which is the world's largest condom maker by volume. So now is an interesting time in your business life cycle because, as you say, lots of things going on and very, very transformative things going on. Parallel industries to yourselves as condom makers would be glove makers, both of you vestiges of Malaysia's rubber plantation heritage. That particular sector has gone on to build and to make rubber gloves, and they've got a global leadership there. You've gone on to make condoms, and you've got a global leadership there. Some glove makers have taken charge of their value chains by buying their own rubber plantations, going to optical products in certain cases, and they've had some success there, or even going to non-latex derivatives such as with nitrile. You've talked about polyurethane as a potential option. You've also talked about going to non-sexual wellness products, and I think that's just 10% of your business. You've also talked about M&A, and you've been buyers in recent years. So what do you do now, MK, from a strategy perspective? Do you go into non-sexual wellness products, or do you go on an acquisition spree to diversify, or are you a target? Which one are you going to be?
Well, I think there's a lot of opportunity still for the sexual wellness business to grow. And when we look into the growth of this business, you know, when you look at that opportunity where, you know, 50% of the world's volume that was given out for free in the past, I would imagine half of that will, in the next 5 years, be transformed to a commercial market. And that's where you look into the fact that when governments buy them for 3 cents, when you're looking them at commercial market, it could be a product that's going from 3 cents to 20 cents. And if you look at that, potentially a volume might not increase as much as value, but I think there's great value there to be caught.
So in plain English, what does that mean? What is it going from a government tender business to a commercial business?
You know, when we look into value-wise, let's say, for example, let's look into Vietnam. It was a market where it was highly subsidized, where governments were giving out for free. Government just decided one day that we're not giving any more condoms out for free. Or they gave them only to key populations where they really needed them. And what happens is the rest of the other population needs to buy them. So suddenly we are seeing a phenomenon where there's huge growth. If we look into the Vietnamese condom market, for example, we're looking at, in the last 3 years, potentially 500% growth. So there is that growth that we are actually aiming. But the fact that, you know, when we are just a condom maker in the past, right, and we don't have that access, when you don't have a brand, how are you going to access that market?
So rather than relying on the government tender process where they're buying from people like yourselves or even from their own domestic makers at basically near cost price, to liberalizing the market and allowing people to buy on their own volition at, of course, market prices or near market prices. Is that what you're referring to?
Yep, it's exactly.
So you've got to rely on your own brands, right?
Yes, we have to rely on our own brands. But I think it's not just own brands, but it's distribution network as well. I think you know, acquiring certain distribution network is key. We have done quite a few acquisitions in the past with regards to brands. But then we look into, you know, is there anyone in Asia that we could buy in terms of brand? I don't think we have that because, you know, when you look into Asia, there isn't really very well-developed brands that we could buy. So definitely we are looking at the organic path in terms of brand launches in Asia.
Which, of course, costs money as well. There's a certain groundwork to be laid.
Yes. For example, I guess a lot of people don't understand the fact that, you know, when you start moving in the branded business, it's not just about advertising cost that is incurred, but, you know, you need to buy up shelf space. You need to also have a lot more spending in terms of your IP rights, registration, and registration is extremely expensive. So I would say that the last few years, Carex has been laying that foundation for a future, you know, for a better path for the future in terms of moving to a higher value product chain.
So what is the message to shareholders then? What is the message to the investment community, the institutional and retail investors who have held on to your stock since 2013? What is the message to them?
The industry is at a crossroad, but I think Carex is in the right path for that growth to capture higher value moving forward. I would say that Carex has just gone stronger and stronger year by year because we're not just capturing more orders, but I think we are capturing higher value products moving forward, not just on a perspective on branding, but I think in terms of a product, in terms of product development, we're definitely developing better products where we are then capturing higher value. So that product mix is something which is happening right now. And that's also one of the areas where if you look into the fact that our gross margins, we're still doing a very healthy gross margin of over 26%, even at the last quarter.
Which is certainly down on the, you know, by about 40 or 50 basis points. Yeah. So how patient should the shareholders need to be? Is there a fillip in terms of a dividend policy maybe? Is there a fillip in terms of, I don't know, perhaps releasing more stock into the open market from the family? Capital management maybe?
Yep, definitely looking at multiple areas.
Which is the most likely?
I think right now, let us concentrate in our business. I think what's most important for me is that I always believe that, let the market decide. But what we need to do basically is just to ensure that, we need to fix the fundamentals of the business because we foresee that future challenge. And I think what we need to do now is make sure that we are ready for that future challenge. We've talked about that steps. That steps that we are talking right now is being implemented. And I think when all this are there, if shareholders can see that, I think we are constantly going to be, sexy, in certain eyes of some of the investors.
Which is the biggest one thing that, eats at your mind on a day-to-day basis, MK? Which is the biggest fundamental challenge to your business?
People, I guess. Today...
The buying people or the working people for you?
The working people for us, definitely, yeah. Because we are working in a very dynamic business and a dynamic industry. And it involves a change of mindset almost every day in terms of how we are changing our business model. I would say that that's probably one of our biggest challenge because today, I don't see myself as just a provider of condoms, but it's in the end of the day, we are providing a solution, not just for the industry, but for a whole lot of sexual wellness products.
Okay, well, MK, good luck with the plan and hopefully in a few months or a year's time, we'll be coming back to you and talking to you with a different perspective. Touch wood. Thank you for spending time with us. That was MK Gore, Chief Executive of Carex Berhad, which is the world's largest condom maker by volume, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's mobile data service provider of the year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.